refer to these riwayat and based on those ahadith, we can say something. For example, according to some of the riwayat that are narrated mostly from the Sunni sources by Sunni narrators from the Holy Prophet,
yes,
it says that this hukuma will be for like 10 years. And it is well known from the Ahl Sunnah, let's say Ahl Sunnah sources.
Yes.
But there are some other, let's say, riwayat in which says that the hukuma of the imam will last more than 10 years to 30 or 40 years. But according to some of the other riwayat which are narrated from the Ahl al-Bayt, alayhim salatu wasalam, even more than 40 years are also mentioned, that the hukuma and the government of the or ruling of Imam al-Asr wa al-Rafida will last more than, let's say, 40 years.
That's
so
right.
Even some according to some of them, it will be more than 300 years.
Yes.
Anyhow, but what is for sure and certain that is that Imam will establish a hukuma and he will govern over the, let's say, the world for many years, maybe many decades. This is what we can see in riwayat and narrations narrated from the Holy Prophet as well as the Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam.
So is he going to rule over all the world? Is it possible for a person, for example, ruling over all the world? Especially nowadays with all these countries, states, you know, these geographical borders that we have, different languages, minorities and cultures. Is it possible?
You see that Imam's hukuma and, let's say, governing on the, let's say, world is a kind of unique, a kind of exceptional sort of system. The parable of that system we have not had in the history. That's why we cannot say that, for example, that hukuma or that governance will be exactly the same as the others that we have experienced in the history. That's why it would be a kind of a special, a kind of unique sort of blessing and ni'mah of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be bestowed upon the imam and upon the nations. It means that the way that imam will govern on the nations, it would be with a special kind of or specific and unique sort of means and, let's say, tools, equipments, ways and methods. All these things would be exactly unique and, let's say, special, because Imam himself, his reappearance is a kind of miraculous kind of performance.
Yes.
And divinely performance. His life is a kind of divinely decision.
That's right.
His coming to the world and his hukuma on the world is again a kind of divinely decision. Everything will happen in that time would be heavenly or divinely sort of things that, of course, cannot be compared with these worldly and earthly mm-hmm. systems that we have on the mm-hmm. earth.
That's right.
There might be some similarities, common areas and fields between these different systems, but, of course, the main characteristic of this hukuma of the imam is that it will be a kind of miraculous
okay.
sort of hukuma and governing over the world.
That's right.
That's why the weaponries, the warfares, let's say, the means by which imam will govern over the nations, it would be specific.
So it would not be an easy one. I mean,
exactly.
It is not easy,
but
okay.
of course, it is a blessing. It is a
yes.
special kind of ni'mah. And
so with all these blessings and the people knowing that the last savior of the human beings will reappear on the world, are there still on that time some people who will defend satanic temptations
exactly.
or the camp
exactly.
of battle?
Exactly, of course.
Okay.
Before appearance of the imam, there are some evil kind of figures that will appear in the world, and they try to kill the imam. They try to stop
mm-hmm.
the imam from governing over the world. Yeah, it is for sure. But the point that I want to mention is that according to some of the riwayat, it is mentioned that the mankind and human beings, let's say, mentality, let's say, capacity and capability of understanding, perception, knowledge, improvement, it will enhance a lot, it will increase,
uh-huh.
it will develop a
okay.
lot. It means that man naturally develops,
that's
improved
right.
a lot.
Okay.
In a way that they perceive correctly that their status, their responsibilities, and their obedience to the imam, and they will follow the imam because they would understand. But of course, since man is still with free will, there are some people who, as you rightly mentioned, they go astray and they actually follow the satanic kind of ideas and values, even at the presence of the Imam, and Imam will fight against them. And that's why it is said that Imam, when Imam reappears, the world will be filled with, let's say, injustice, with discrimination, with oppression. And it would be the Imam who filled the world with justice, with prosperity, with sa'ada, with happiness, with peace. But how and in what way, in what, let's say, by what method, it is something unique and special that Imam will make use of them.
That's all right.
The effects of loving the Imam of time, Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. To fulfill the criteria of waiting, there is no other choice but that we fill the vessels of love, that is our hearts, with devotion to the Imam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. In Ziyarat Ali Yaseen, reported from Imam Al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, وَأَنْ تَمْلَأَ قَلْبِي نُورَ الْيَقِينِ وَمَوَدَّتِي نُورَ الْمُوَالَاتِ, and that you fill my heart with the light of certainty and my devotion with the light of friendship. Or in Ziyarat Jamaat al-Kabira, بِمُوَالَاتِكُمْ عَلَّمَنَا اللَّهُ مَعَالِمَ دِينِنَا وَأَصْلَحَ مَا كَانَ فَسَدَ مِن دُنْيَانَا. Through your friendship, Allah taught us the laws of our religion and corrected that which was corrupted from our world. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
There is also this concept of Raj'ah, the people who loved Imam will be resurrected somehow, we can say, in this world in order to attend the army of the Imam. Prophet Jesus Christ and prophets will accompany the Imam on that time. So all in all, we could see that Imam has got his own companies and companions at the time of the reappearance, and so it is not limited to a specific religion or, for example, language, Sheikh, isn't it?
No, of course not, because Imam is a kind of universal leader.
So is it so that because the language of the Imam is Arabic, on that time people must learn the Arabic language or something?
As I told you, it says that the people's capability of learning and understanding and perception will enhance a lot.
Yes.
It shows that Imam can communicate easily with all of them. And about the Raj'ah, or returning, some specific figures that you mentioned, in Riwayat it is mentioned that Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, will return, and Ashab al-Kahf, the people of Cave, and Yusha ibn Nun, and Mu'mina Ali Fir'aun, Salman al-Farisi, Abu Dijaniya Ansari, and Malik Ashtar al-Nakhai. These are some of the people who are mentioned in some of the Riwayat that they will return. There are also some other figures as well. But anyhow, yes, it means that when Imam rules over all the nations, all the, let's say, different countries, of course, he would be provided with all the means he need to govern and to rule over them. One of them is the methods or the means of communication.
All right. There have been also some books compiled regarding Imam al-Mahdi, Al-Bayan fi Akhbar Sahib al-Zaman, which is written by Shafi'i. Author Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Ganji is one of them. Najm al-Saqib by Mirza Hussain al-Nuri or Muhaddis al-Nuri is another one. Muntakhab al-Asr fi Imam al-Isna'ashar by the late Ayatollah Lutfullah Safiya Gulpaygani. Sayyid Muhammad al-Sad also authored a book, Muswat al-Imam al-Mahdi. These are all the books. For more information, our dear listeners can refer to such books. You know, there are so many details and still unknown details and worlds regarding the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. Some of them are clear, but most of them are only guesses and conjectures based on the exegesis of the ahadith and the ayats of the Holy Quran. But all in all, we can say and we can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of Imam As Ajallallah to taste the true justice around the world during his government and establishment, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, please visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani aliyin wa husayni wa hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي بتهران
روباشافت غازا
جروم هيوز بروسلز
سعيد بورزا لندن
راشا ساقلم استنبول
سيد امين عالمي كابول
شهانة بات اندين ادمنستيرد كشمير
Around the world with reporters.
The people of Afghanistan are facing immense hardship and sorrow, with the country finding itself at the bottom of the World Happiness Report rankings. The report, which evaluates nations based on various factors such as freedom, health, and income, has named Afghanistan as the unhappiest, where almost everyone is very unhappy.
Everyone here agrees with the result of the World Happiness Survey. We are unhappiest, and that is because of the ongoing poverty, unemployment, and lack of freedom and opportunities. Furthermore, girls cannot receive education, which further adds to the misery of Afghan families. When women are despaired, families feel unhappy.
I have been unemployed for almost 3 years. Since then, I have not had any income. My young daughters are missing their school, and this situation is so tough. How can we be happy? The Afghan people have suffered decades of intervention and war, and they have not been happy. But experts say, under the rule of the Taliban, their circumstances have worsened.
The Afghan people have suffered decades of intervention and war, and they have not been happy. But experts say, under the rule of the Taliban, their circumstances have worsened.
As we speak, mental clinics across Kabul are receiving more patients than ever. As a psychologist, I witnessed the rise of mental health problems such as anxiety, stress, and depression. They have even led to suicide. If you take hope away from people, it will result in a depressed and dead nation. Hope is everything for human beings. If it is eroded, all progress will be lost.
The Afghan people are resilient. But the absence of basic human necessities and rights can crush even the strongest will. The international community and the ruling Taliban share a responsibility to bring some hope and light to the life of the crisis-stricken nation. Decades of foreign interventions and war have made Afghans the poorest and the saddest people on the planet. This nation has long yearned for peace and happiness, but it remains to be seen when or whether they find their lost dream. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
The appointment of a new Palestinian prime minister at the current circumstances can deepen divisions as the Israeli war on Gaza rages. This is what some Palestinian factions revealed after President Mahmoud Abbas appointed Mohammed Mustafa, a long-trusted advisor on economic affairs, as prime minister and tasked him with forming a new government. Both Hamas and resistance movements, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and the Palestinian National Initiative said that without national consensus, it's a reinforcement of a policy of exclusion and the deepening of division. We met Dr. Mustafa Al-Barghouti, Secretary General of the National Initiative. He told us that the most important thing is now a unified leadership.
We're not against the new government. We're against the way the government is being formed. We want a national consensus government, a government which is acceptable and accepted by all Palestinian political groups through a national dialogue between the different groups. And that is natural because, and for us, the main goal first before forming a government is how we structure a unified Palestinian national leadership.
Mohammed Mustafa replaces Mohammed Shtayyi, who resigned less than 3 weeks ago, citing the need for real change. Experts, however, say there had been mounting pressure on Abbas to reform the Palestinian Authority and initiate the establishment of a political framework capable of governing a future Palestinian state to take charge of all Palestinian territories after the Israeli genocidal war on Gaza ends.
First of all, that there was a pressure on Palestinian Authority to make some changes, and that's why they complied immediately and appointing Mohammed Mustafa to as the new prime minister. This is on the one hand. On the other hand, which is most importantly as well, what the Palestinians wanted. The Palestinians don't want another government to be the same. The problem here is with Israel. Are they, and the international community, are they able to really make the change and let this government to work or not?
The new prime minister now would work to form a technocratic government of experts. Abbas has also asked Mustafa to create plans to reunite the administration of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, reform the government, and address internal corruption. A real political change, not a change in words only, is what the people here desire. Moreover, the upcoming government faces numerous challenges, namely rebuilding the Gaza Strip, torpedoing Israeli plans to control the coastal enclave, and managing Palestinians' lives. Mona Kandil, Occupy Ramallah.
On Saturday, thousands of people joined a new rally in the Italian capital, organized, among the others, by the movement of the Palestinian students and the Association of the Palestinians in Italy. The initiative, dubbed Stop the Genocide, also saw the participation of high school students and families. People at the rally strongly condemned Italy's unwavering support to the Israeli regime.
Italy, that claims to be a democratic nation, is a country where the government goes against the people's will. Profits always come first, even when a genocide is taking place. I'm teaching my kids to never give up the fight and to never accept being submitted.
The Italian Defense Minister Guido Crosetto has recently said that Rome has continued to export arms to Israel despite assurances last year that the government was blocking such sales following Tel Aviv's invasion of the Gaza Strip. Some Italian media reports recently revealed that despite the Italian government's denials, the value of arms sales to Israel more than tripled in December 2023 compared with the same month in 2022. And December last year was the peak of Israeli bombardments on the Gaza Strip.
Western governments have been systematically supporting Zionism and Israel's criminal regime, notwithstanding the protest against Israel's crimes that have been taking place across the globe. Italy's support to Tel Aviv must stop once and for all.
A solution to the onslaught in Gaza could be found if the international community stopped militarily supporting Israel. Italy, on its side, has been actively arming Israel through companies such as Leonardo and others. If we don't make sure that the Palestinians' right to self-determination is protected, and nothing will ever change.
Earlier this week, more protests and initiatives in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians were held in several Italian cities, including Milan and Naples. Max Civili, Rome.
A growing strategic partnership between Azerbaijan and Iran in the energy sector on full display. A collaboration that promises to bolster economic development and energy security beyond the borders of the two countries and in the region, as described by the Iranian Minister of Energy and his visiting Azerbaijani counterpart. A highlight of this cooperation is the near completion of hydroelectric power plants on the Aras River, a vital waterway on the Iran-Azerbaijan border, with construction progress reported at 96%. The strategic importance of these hydroelectric projects extends beyond national benefits, signaling a move towards greater energy independence and regional cooperation, including the creation of an energy bridge linking Azerbaijan, Iran, and Russia by connecting Iran and Russia's power grids through the Republic of Azerbaijan. This follows decisions made 2 weeks ago during the 17th Iran-Russia Joint Economic Commission in Tehran to boost economic relations in different fields. Managing shared water resources for energy production lays the groundwork for more mutually beneficial cooperation, which is why the presidents of both countries will be attending the inaugural ceremony.
The projects are in the final stages, promising a significant boost in Iran-Azerbaijan bilateral relations, all in line with President Ebrahim Raisi's policy to expand relations with neighboring countries. Gizum Shahmadi, Tehran.
The top annual analysis of global arms sales found that France has risen to the number two weapons exporter in the world. The gains have often been made thanks to debt from Ukraine, which has become Europe's largest arms importer. French arms sales have soared 50% in recent years and now comprise 11% of the global market. The world's leading arms dealer is still the United States, which controls a record 42% of the global weapons trade. Arms sales to Ukraine has proven to be big business, and it may explain President Emmanuel Macron's about-face on the conflict. 2 years ago, Macron warned that Russia must not be humiliated, but he's recently become one of Europe's leading anti-Russia war hawks. France's top three arms clients are India, which is the world's largest arms importer, followed by Saudi Arabia and tiny but rich Qatar. Africa is still reeling from 40 tons of illegal free arms drops France made in 2011 to support anti-Gaddafi rebels in Libya. As predicted, the weapons soon found their way to Syria, the Central African Republic, Ukraine, and elsewhere. This week, French Parliament approved a 10-year military pact with Kiev, which guarantees billions in more weapons deliveries. Russia continues to gain ground against NATO-backed Ukraine, which is an important reminder that some weapons are made to work under actual wartime conditions, and some are made mainly for sales and profit. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
An unprecedented global movement gaining momentum. Initiated by veteran French lawyer and academic Gilles De Verre, the Army of Lawyers for Palestine now has over 200,000 lawyers of different nationalities on board and still counting, as he travels from country to country to promote his grassroots campaign.
We are witnessing a new movement in the world. The atrocities committed in Gaza are no longer only a matter that concerns Muslim countries. Far from it. Here we have a French lawyer that has started an initiative that brought together 300 lawyers from across the world in less than 10 days, and that number grew rapidly to 100,000. And now with the MOU that we have signed at the Iran Judiciary Bar, that number will be rising to 50,000 lawyers. With Iran on board, you can also expect lawyers from Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to join in as well.
And an optimistic Gilles de Verre, who has already filed a complaint of genocide against Israel with the International Criminal Court, demanding an arrest warrant for top Israeli politicians, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
This is going to be a tough battle, without a doubt. But in just a few months, all these lawyers have joined us. This kind of solidarity is unprecedented. We have never seen so many lawyers join hands for one purpose in history. So this is a great sign, because it won't be enough to tell a judge, look, there's no many of us. Instead, we have to be able to defend Palestine with strong legal arguments. And by the looks of things, we have a solid base for that.
His South African fellow companion shedding light on the legal aspects of the matter while explaining how the case brought to the International Court of Justice by South Africa is also paving the way.
The ICJ order specifically spoke about creating a humanitarian corridor and a humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza. The United States and Israel were saying that the word ceasefire did not exist in the ICJ order. But this is not true, because the humanitarian aid on the ground at scale cannot be delivered without an effective and immediate ceasefire.
It is very clear that we are witnessing a birth of new age. A new movement of justice-seeking people from all over the world is emerging, and that is why, while the South African government files a complaint, we see a grassroots movement also taking shape. A very unique one that has brought together lawyers who are seeking justice in the battle between good and evil.
And in the words of these legal experts, this goal is not far from reach. Lawyers believe that we live in a new era in which this new global initiative will eventually lead to justice for Palestinians. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
An annual meeting of Quran reciters and memorizers with the leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Every year on the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, leader of the Islamic Revolution receives top reciters of the Holy Quran to stress the importance of this very holy book in the lives of Muslims.
In the meeting, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei described the recitation of the Quran as a sacred art, while underlining that the primary objective of this very valuable skill should be to convey the meaning and message of the Quran to the public and society and create the ground for contemplation of the Holy Scripture. Elsewhere in his speech, Ayatollah Khamenei expressed his satisfaction with the abundant number of young Quran reciters in the country, viewing their increase as a blessing of the Islamic Revolution. Meanwhile, referring to the crimes committed by the Zionist regime in Gaza, the leader pointed out that the peak of resilience that is being witnessed in Gaza presently stems from a profound familiarity with and adherence to the teachings of the Quran. Before the meeting, young and experienced reciters and memorizers were very much excited to listen and take a glimpse of the leader.
I am very much excited to recite some verses of the Holy Quran in the presence of the leader. But this is a great opportunity for me to see the leader.
This is the third time I have the honor of attending such a great event. Today I am going to have supplications to recite about the holy month of Ramadan.
Other reciters were worried about the people of Gaza, who are observing the holy month of Ramadan amid the Israeli bombing and shelling campaign.
The month of Ramadan is the month of mercy and blessing. I do believe that during this month, the Zionist regime will face a big defeat.
At the end of the ceremony, the Quran reciters and memorizers held congregational prayers led by the leader of the Islamic Revolution and broke their fast together. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Iran, Russia, and China have conducted the main phase of a joint naval drill dubbed Maritime Security Belt 2024. After arriving at the northern part of the Indian Ocean, the vessels of the three countries practiced different operations. The joint drills took place in 17,000 square kilometers of water in a region that is an internationally crucial hub for energy and trade traffic. The first phase of the naval drills included live firing at designated surface targets in the Sea of Oman. Various vessels and fast attack crafts from the IRGC were also involved in the exercise. The vessels were armed with the state-of-the-art homegrown advanced weapons. The next phase included the Photo X exercise and offensive formations. The helicopters of the Islamic Republic of Iran Navy and the IRGC monitored the region in all stages of the exercise. Iran's Navy commander hailed the exercise as a successful endeavor to improve maritime cooperation of the contributing countries. The commander also said that Iran expects the drills to expand in the future.
This year, as we expected, regarding the types of vessels participating in the exercise, both China and Russia have increased the variety as well as tonnage of the vessels. So hopefully, we expect more countries to join the drills in the future, especially regional states.
Admiral Irani also stated that regional nations have the capacity to confront piracy and terrorism by enhancing cooperation. The exercises are the latest in joint drills by Iran, China, and Russia. Iran says regional countries are most welcome to take part in the drills that are going to take place in the future. The Islamic Republic has time and again stressed that regional countries are the ones that are truly in charge of establishing security in the region. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran.
کتاب الله.
In the limelight.
The stage is set for more intense resistance operations against the occupying entity called Israel this Ramadan, which can prove the last nail in its coffin. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, Ramadan, the month of fasting and divine grace, has commenced again. Fasting is not merely an abstention from food, but an exercise in self-restraint and self-discipline. It's also the time for Muslims to reflect on the challenges they face and reaffirm their commitment to the Quranic teachings of unity and standing up against all forms and manifestations of evil. At the moment, the most pressing issue for Muslims is related to the besieged Gaza Strip, where the US-backed Israeli regime war of genocide, now in its 6 months, has already claimed over 31,000 precious lives, mostly women and children, and over 71,000 have been injured. The efforts to broker a truce before the commencement of the holy month, in which the Noble Quran was revealed in its entirety, failed to materialize due to the occupying entity's hard-nosed stance. With the Zionist regime intent on committing more massacres and war crimes ahead of a potential invasion of Rafah, it is clear that securing the release of Israeli captives in Gaza was never high on the regime's agenda. What they seek is the obliteration of the resistance group Hamas, which in reality means the people of Gaza. As the month of mercy, Ramadan has always been an opportune time to bring about ceasefire agreements, as was the case between some countries who agreed a truce. Coinciding with the start of Ramadan that year, the ethnic Malay Muslim separatists in Thailand and the Thai government have also agreed in principle to a ceasefire spanning the holy month and the Thai festival of Songkran in mid-April. Earlier this week, the UN Security Council also adopted a UK-drafted resolution that called for a Ramadan ceasefire in Sudan amid the country's devastating war. One of the reasons Ramadan is known as the Month of Mercy is because the gates of heaven are open while those of hell are considered closed to the sincere believers. As such, it has also been a time in the year when those engaged in resistance activities intensify their activities. In early Islamic history, the month of Ramadan had events such as the Battle of Badr, the liberation of Mecca, and other such events. Hamas officials have also warned of more intense operations this month if the Zionist regime continues its aggression against Palestinians in Gaza. The spokesperson for the armed wing of Hamas, Abu Obeidah, referred to Ramadan as the month of victory, the month of jihad. A recent poster by Al-Qassam Brigades stated, "We welcome the month of Ramadan with the pinnacle of Islam, jihad, steadfastness, and fighting, in a time that is depleted of true men." It is worth noting that the heroic 2014 Gaza war also took place in Ramadan. An article released by Al-Qassam 2 years later said the month has seen the actualization of exceptional Islamic victories. During the war, the Palestinian resistance, chiefly the Al-Qassam brigades, fought the most impressive battles of heroism and martyrdom. The article stated further, "The month of Ramadan symbolizing resistance is something the Zionist regime is well aware of, which was evident from the Ramadan message of Israeli regime military affairs ministry Yoav Gallant." The Zionist regime heritage minister Amichai Eliyahu upped the warmongering rhetoric, telling Army Radio that the month of Ramadan must be wiped out and our fear of this month must also be wiped out. It is thus accepted that, as with every year, the occupation forces will attempt to provoke Muslims in the occupied Al-Quds by restricting or violently clamping down on worshippers seeking to attend the Al-Aqsa Mosque. We have already seen that on the first night of the holy month of this year. The irony is not lost in the fact that Gaza war itself was sparked by the Zionist regime's continued acts of aggression against the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site in Islam. Indeed, Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, launched on October 7th, was a response to provocations in Al-Quds. Weeks into the war, a top Palestinian Islamic Jihad official quoted as saying the goal of the operation was to prevent the targeting of Al-Aqsa Mosque, disparaging or insulting of Muslim religious rights, assault of our women, efforts to Judaize Al-Aqsa Mosque and normalize Israeli occupation of it or divide it temporarily and spatially. Thus, the continuation of hostilities during Ramadan is likely to feel a stronger resistance. Ariel Kahana, the Zionist regime's Hayyum senior diplomatic commentator, acknowledged that although Israel understands that Ramadan this year is particularly explosive, there seems to be a lack of real preparatory steps. Meanwhile, the axis of resistance groups are also ready to step up their operations in Ramadan, which was evident recently on the first day of the holy month. Yemeni military, led by the Ansarullah resistance movement, targeted another American-owned vessel in the Red Sea. The Islamic resistance in Iraq pounded the Ben Gurion airport in the occupied territories. Hezbollah fired more than 100 rockets at the Zionist regime targets early on Tuesday. So the stage is set for more intense resistance operations against the occupying entity this Ramadan, which can prove the last nail in its coffin.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamati. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to Youth Station on IRIB English Radio, and I am one of your hosts today, Mustafa. And with me in the studio today is...
Yeah, this is Asma. Also, I have the honor to be with you in this studio.
So, we've entered the holy month of Ramadan, and
exactly.
We've been sort of, you know, discussing what are all the different sort of benefits, all sort of, it's kind of an open-ended discussion on, you know, about
yeah.
Ramadan and the different things that Muslims go through during this month. I think we all know that, you know, fasting is the most significant thing that, you know, everybody knows about it. But then...
And it's not just about not eating.
It's
more than that. It's about protecting your eyes, your ears, your mind, everything. Your tongue, of course.
It's really working on your spirituality. You know, mm-hmm. We talked about in the previous episode, it's about really redefining ourselves, you know,
yes.
And our connection and our relationship with God.
We said it's all about moments. There are some moments that would change you entirely. And in this holy month, there are more of those moments because you have time to contemplate over
right.
yourself.
And then apart from the moments, then this month is also full of very significant days.
It's the month of revelation and inspiration.
Right, right. The Quran is towards, you know, was sent down towards towards the end of the month.
The Holy Book of Quran is the ending point to all the other religions.
Right, right, right.
That complete every single religion that we had before.
We have, for example, the death of the Prophet's first wife, you know, Hazrat Khadija.
Yeah.
Her death is during this month. We have the birth of Imam Hassan during this month. The Battle of Badr took place during Ramadan. You know, that was Islam's first battle, right? Mm-hmm. So that was significant that Muslims were actually, you know, fasting during the time that war took place. We have the Shahadat, the martyrdom of Imam Ali. And then, you know, the last nights we have Laylatul Qadr, right? So yeah. Is there anything I missed?
No. That's you already mentioned everything. And the thing which is so important is that the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam coincides with the nights that are supposed to be the nights of Qadr or destiny.
Right. They start with those.
They start with
Imam Ali's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is also significant and it adds to its significance.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many reminders throughout this whole month. I think it's sort of impossible to not be reminded of God, of, you know, of the Prophet, of the Quran. Even, you know, in non-Muslim societies, like, they also get attracted to this as well. And I know we're going to talk about that later on. But that's what I really love about Ramadan, is that it's just full of
moments.
Reminders.
Yeah.
I mean, just the hunger, you know, and not eating and the thirst, that reminds you of what you're going through, right?
Exactly. And it's a preparation, actually, for the days to come, the afterlife.
Right.
It's going to have the same condition. I suppose they talk a lot about the things that we all are going to go through in the Day of Judgment. So it's going to be something like this. Like, everybody is trying so hard to survive, and they go through hunger, they go through thirst, they are in a sort of excitement.
Right.
So I guess we have to go for a short break and then come back.
Sure. Okay, so we're back from the break and we're discussing, kind of having an open-ended discussion, you know, about Ramadan and all of the things that we love about it and the things that we experience through it. Now,
still, you're listening to Youth Station, of course.
Oh, yes, you're listening to Youth Station.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that. Please forgive me, I am fasting, right?
So it's okay.
There's a few less brain cells working up here.
Of course,
But we're being rewarded for that, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the beauties of this month, is that you're even rewarded for sleeping.
Exactly,
right?
Even if sleeping gets to have some rewards.
So even the forgetfulness, I should be getting some rewards for that.
Of course. So you actually mentioned a list of the occasions, the special occasions that we have in the holy month of Ramadan. There's also another very important day in the calendar, which is the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, and that is called the Day of Quds, in which people are going to gather together and they are going to work as a reminder for people not to forget the Quds.
I guess the days that I mentioned were all sort of historical days,
exactly.
Right? From Islamic history and from, for example, from the Prophet and the Imams. But yeah, this day, the last Friday, is very important. And it was a day that Imam Khomeini designated for, you know, he's the one who sort of initiated this movement, I would say, or this day to remind people of the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa and Quds, so that we don't forget it.
Like, people are suffering, kids are dying, women are going through excruciating moments, and then we as Muslim people must be united to help all of them.
I feel like almost every week is like Yom al-Quds these days, in all parts of the world. Like, a lot of times it would just be Shias or just Muslims, for example, participating in Yom al-Quds. Right now, you see that it's everyone, right? Non-Muslims, Muslims, like...
And every Friday after the praying, they all gather together to say that they don't forget what's going on in there.
So I think, you know, this year's Yom al-Quds, the last Friday, will be very, very significant and should probably be very huge. And you can sort of see Imam Khomeini's vision, right? He did this like, what was it, like 30, 40 years ago when he decided to do this. And now we're seeing the culmination of that, you know, that in all of humanity is sort of waking up to how important this issue is of what's, so.
And the oppression that people of Palestine are going through just because of a tyrant.
Right, right. You know, you're right. I mean, the oppression is I mean, it's unbelievable. It's also, it's actually unimaginable what kind of things that they're doing. But, you know, the fact that I think, I don't know if this is why Imam Khomeini picked the last Friday Ramadan, but I think one of the reasons is that we become so purified, right? That's what we talked about. We become so purified by the end of Ramadan that we're now really ready to address the oppression of the world, right? We're not just purifying ourselves just for the sake of, like, for example, our individual selves, right?
Exactly.
Islam is much more than just the individual spirituality. It's like the collective spirituality of humanity.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, that's right. You know how I take it? I usually look at it like this, that now we all are recommended through our narrations and everything and through the condition of today's world. We are praying so hard for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi Ajalallah Faraja. So that day of his reappearance is going to be the Eid. The greatest Eid for all the Muslim people and every single person in this world. Now, the Eid of the holy month of Ramadan is actually like that Eid that we are waiting for. But in order to get there, we have to eliminate all the difficulties and all the problems and look for the oppressed people.
Right.
So we have to go through that and to find a way to help the oppressed people in order to get to that Eid.
And definitely, you know, since we ourselves are hungry during that time, I think, I remember during one of the Yom HaKotz, it was like the weather was extremely hot, you know, but still people were out, you know, in thousands or millions or whatever. You know, I think even that hunger sort of reminds us of the oppression of, you know, and we know right now, for example, they're facing like huge level of hunger and starvation in Palestine. So yeah, those are all the sort of different days, and I hope I didn't miss any other days.
Yeah, hopefully we didn't. We mentioned, they were outlined.
Right, right. But you know, other than that, during this month, all the things that we talked about, one of the things that's really emphasized is the different type of supplications, the du'as, that we have to read during this month.
But let's just put them for after the break. Okay. Sure.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Yes, welcome back. This is IRIB English Radio, Youth Station, and we were talking about the supplications.
Right, there's so many supplications that are recommended during this month. For example, we have the supplication of, you know, welcoming the month from the fourth Imam. There are supplications for every single day of the month, and each one of those has like different messages and lessons in it, right? And they're really short, by the way, the ones that are of the everyday. Another dua that's really emphasized is dua iftitah. But that is a longer dua. It's about, takes about 20, 25 minutes.
But it's very
minutes.
Beautiful. The content is so literary.
Right. Yeah. Those are some of the ones that are coming to my mind. Are there any others?
There's another one, which is Da Abi Hamza. That's also a very beautiful text, I would call it. That's not just a supplication. It's as if somebody is talking out of your tongue. Somebody is talking your heart out.
Right.
That's also so beautiful.
All of the du'as, the imams expressed things so beautifully.
Yeah.
It's that to me is like almost like a miracle, you know, just how beautifully those du'as expressed. Because you don't find normal human beings being able to express themselves that well or that way. Right?
Yeah, in that complete sort of way.
Right.
Like I remember when I was a child, like, you know, girls start to go through these things earlier, like in a time where there's so much of Aikido. So it was so difficult for me to understand the philosophy behind these supplications. Mm. Like, I just look at the pages. I remember when my mother used to read them. And then I was just sitting next to her and just counting the pages and saying, this is too much. How are we going to go through all these pages and why? But then as I grew older,
yeah.
I started to understand that these are my words. Now when I read them, I did not feel like the number of the pages. All I feel is the idea that the are going to be inspired to my heart.
Right.
So when we are younger, we do not understand right. what's going on in those pages. But as we get older, these words are going to become our alter egos.
Right. The whole purpose of these du'as is to connect us, you know, deeply with God, to help us express ourselves, to help us, to help teach us, right?
Yeah.
They're full of lessons and messages.
And obedience is one of the greatest messages that are mentioned in those supplications. Like, normally, we as human beings, we feel like everything must be prepared to us. Everything must be provided. Mm. And God is the one who's going to provide everything for us. And if any problem happens to me, then my life is a miserable life. Then God is not doing anything to me. But these du'as are going to teach us that you are an obedient human being. You must see everything in that spotlight. Like, from that angle, you must look at everything. So everything that happens to you, it's just a testing.
Well, also, these du'as are very comforting as well, right?
Yeah.
If you are going through difficult times, and when you read some of the words that the imams expressed, they comfort you. They help make you feel better.
As if you're meeting a therapist.
It is. It's self-therapy almost,
yeah.
right? Reading these du'as and reading the Quran, it really is. And of course, if I would say God is probably the best therapist out there,
of
right?
course,
he's the best teacher. He's most merciful. And that's also one of my therapists also says, by the way. You know, someone asked him, what was the question they asked him? It was related to therapy. And he said that, you know, he felt that God is the best therapist. You know,
he said
we can only help you, you know, we can sort of help you in day-to-day issues, but ultimately God can cure you.
Exactly like what we go through when we read these pages. It's very clear that it has been a therapy. Like, you might cry, you might just bear your soul out to God. But then after you finish, it's as if you've been through a process of purgation. Like, everything has gone and everything has faded away. Like, all the terrible things that has enchanted you are just fading away.
All right. Well, wish everyone listening a really happy Ramadan. And, you know, I hope you're successful in all of your prayers and all of your spiritual endeavors. And please pray for us as well.
Yeah. So thank you for staying with us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif, 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 Ya Latif.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.